This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. For this week's edition of Food Friday, we're celebrating the start of fall with a favorite cold weather meal, soup. Soup's a great way to stay cozy and warm when the weather starts to get chilly, and our next guest says it has some real health benefits along the way. Julie Harrington is a chef and registered dietitian. She's the co-author of the Healing Soup Cookbook, Hearty Recipes to Boost Immunity and Restore Health. Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. So I'm actually here in New Jersey right now, so a little far away from Wisconsin, but soups all around are going to fit in anyone's fall menu.
Definitely. And I think we'd like New Jersey soups here in Wisconsin. I got no problem with that. So soup, we know it's warm. We know it's, you know, nourishing, but healthy. Can you make the case for it that soup can be a really good source for healthy food?
Yes. So in this book, we talk a lot about the health benefits and the anti-inflammatory benefits. And when it comes to building a soup, you're using a lot of vegetables, you're using broths as healing properties. You can add in different food groups to meet nutritional needs. And you can really mix and match with different flavor profiles as well.
Here's what I worry about, though. There's a part of my brain, Julie, that when I hear healthy soup, and I make a lot of soup, I love soup. When I hear healthy soup, I had this cookbook, I think it was for British hippies, and it was supposed to be healthy food, and it had recipes like flavorless lentil soup and bland and depressing spinach soup. Those weren't the actual titles, but they could have been. My worry is if you're telling me, Rob, this is a healthy soup, it's going to be bland and boring. Talk me out of
that. No way here, because as a chef, food has to taste good. So that is my main priority. I'm not going to serve cardboard, or I'm not going to serve something that people are not going to enjoy eating. So first things first, has to taste delicious. And then I'm really kind of working backwards and thinking about building a recipe around specific health needs or health concerns. And with anti-inflammatory, it's really focusing on these whole foods, fiber-rich fruits, vegetables, our whole grain, lean meats, and that's really where that anti-inflammatory benefit comes from.
All right, cold flu season coming up. What do we want? I mean, chicken soup. Everybody thinks about chicken soup. Is there really something to that?
Yeah, so in our book, we actually really talk about that and the healing benefits of like a nice warm broth. We typically think about that when we have a cold, but that steam will actually help our sinuses. So that's going to be really great. And then also rehydration, because a lot of times when we're sick, we are dehydrated. So that broth-based soup is going to be helpful in that aspect.
Talking to Julie Harrington, chef and registered dietitian, co-author of the book, The Healing Soup Cookbook. You could join in this Food Friday conversation, by the way, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite soup to make, to eat? Do you have a favorite soup for when you're feeling under the weather? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You've got some recipes for us, Julie. We've got them up at wpr.org/foodfriday. Miso soup. You can buy miso. I've had it at Japanese restaurants. You can buy miso as a sort of tub of glop. Tell us about your miso soup and why we want to eat it.
So miso soup is actually so easy to make, and you probably walk by miso in the grocery store every time you're there. A lot of people just don't know how to cook with it or to use it, but it has this really rich umami flavor. And since it's a fermented soybean, it will last a really long time in your fridge. And I like to use it to provide that umami-based flavor without going overboard with different stocks and broths, and you can make your own at home very easily and get that same experience.
And yet, even if we're not making something that we're calling miso soup, miso can be like, it can replace your bouillon or your stock, right?
Exactly. So even in some of the recipes, we just use water and some miso instead of broth.
What are your tips if we want to make our own broth from the ground up?
Perfect. So we have a whole chapter of that. We have your classic vegetable. We have chicken broth, beef stock, bone broth, mushroom broth. There's so many different broths you can build. So my biggest tip, though, is as you're cooking, throughout any stage of cooking, whatever you're making, save the scraps. So save the ends of the onion, save the carrot peel, save the ends of that celery, because put in a freezer bag. And once that's full, you can utilize scraps to help make your stock or broth. So you're not buying these whole foods again to just end up discarding later on.
And I want to check out another recipe now. This one sounds great. A creamy basil tomato soup. Tell us a little bit about this guy, please.
Oh, I love tomato soup. And this just takes it up a level with some basil in there. Just adds those layers of flavor. So you'll see in this book, we have your classics here, but then also taking it up a notch with adding maybe a new ingredient or a new flavor profile or just that added twist that maybe you didn't think to add yourself just to enhance the flavors.
And you say, you know, I think, oh, this time of year, we still got some fresh tomatoes here in Wisconsin. You say actually canned tomatoes can be as good or maybe even better depending on the time of year.
Yep. So canned tomatoes, they actually contain more lycopene than fresh tomatoes. Once your fresh tomatoes at that peak ripeness, that's going to contain the most lycopene. But since our canned tomatoes are processed and put in those cans, it's preserving that lycopene. And lycopene is a really great antioxidant that can help with anti-inflammatory benefits, but then also known for support with prostate cancer.
One of the things I get most excited about this year, Julie, food-wise, is squash and pumpkins. And I love making soup with both of those things. Do you have any favorite ways to use your winter squashes or your pumpkins this time of year in your soups?
Yes, I love butternut squash soup. It's one of my favorites. Mm. I actually have some frozen in my freezer right now that I definitely need to thaw out. So when it comes to choosing your squash, definitely think about the flavor profile you're looking for. So some are a little bit sweeter. Some have a little bit more texture than others. You can leave it in cubes. You can puree them up. So they're very versatile. And there's so many different kinds of squash out there. We typically always gravitate towards the same kind, but definitely venture out this season and maybe try a delicata squash or a kombucha squash or even a honey nut squash versus your butternut.
We heard from Martha on Facebook who says her favorite soup is in cold weather is French onion soup. Martha says they just bought some onions to make it. Now, I love eating French onion soups at restaurants, Julie. For some reason, it seems like a hard one to make at home, so I've never tried. Am I wrong?
It's just more of a lengthy process because to really get that rich French onion flavor, you have to caramelize your onions. And it's a slow and steady process. So low and slow heat will really caramelize those onions and really adapt and develop that flavor that we're looking for in that broth. But it's actually pretty easy to make. You just have to have a little patience.
Now, here's a divisive issue in my family. Beets. I like them. Nobody else in my immediate household does. You brought us a recipe for borscht, which features beets, of course. And I never really thought of it. Borscht, usually you cook the vegetables separate and then put them in the broth as opposed to they cook entirely in the broth.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, why continue to make it harder for yourself and make that recipe from start to finish in that pot? So I always say cook smarter, not harder. You can easily buy pre-chopped veggies for these soups. You can buy the broth if you don't want to make your own broth. It's whatever is going to get you to eat this nourishing soup. I'm all about that. That's my biggest thing.
What are the flavors you like to have in with the beets in that borscht?
So the beet one, actually, the co-author developed that recipe. So she would need to answer that question more of her development of that
gotcha.
Recipe.
Okay. Are you a beet fan yourself, though?
I love beets.
Okay.
Especially roasted beets with
yes.
squash. I think that's delicious for a nice top of a salad or a side dish.
We are on the same page there. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in West Salem. Jeff, hi.
Yes, hi. I was just heard you mention about the lycoproteins or whatever it is, or lycopenes in the tomatoes when you can them. I was wondering if they're just as good frozen as they are canned.
Jeff, thanks for the call. I don't feel like I see frozen tomatoes that much, Julie. Do you?
No, frozen you don't really see, but if the conversation's more going to what's going to be the better choice, fresh, frozen, canned, all of them are great choices because they're all going to get you to eat some more fruits and vegetables, especially the vegetable category. But you just need to be aware of frozen. Now it's going into a package. They could be adding other stuff to the package. But say broccoli, for example, you have frozen broccoli. That is picked at its peak ripeness. So it's locking in all that nutrition the same as that fresh. So it's the nutrition components are very similar, but now you just have to be a little bit more aware now that it could be adding a cheese sauce, or even when it says lightly seasoned, it might be just light in taste, but not light in sodium, for example.
Jeff, thanks for the call. We heard from Marsha on Facebook. Speaking of that broccoli, Marsha's favorite is cream of broccoli with cheese. Julie, yes. First of all, your thoughts on cheese and soup. And remember, you're talking to Wisconsin here.
Well, I mean, I love cheese, so there's no question there. I like to add a lot of my cheese as toppings just because then everyone can kind of cater to how much or how little they do want. But I mean, you can't have a soup cookbook without broccoli cheddar soup in there.
A lot of times when I start making a soup, I don't know what kind of soup it's going to end up being. I just, what's in my fridge? What kind of spices do I want to add
it's
along the way?
Soup.
Yes, exactly. I love doing that. And sometimes I have this quandary at the end. Sometimes it's clear I don't cream it. I don't blend it. Sometimes it's obviously a blended soup. I'm on the fence. What makes you decide whether to blend it at the end or not?
I mean, I guess the flavors in there and the textures, if I like having a little texture in my soup, so more al dente vegetables instead of like really soft vegetables in my soup, or adding a grain. So for all of those, I'm going to keep them broth based, but something that maybe has a lot of kind of mushy texture. So say my butternut squash soup, yeah. I puree that because everything's sitting in that pot for a long time for that, squash to get nice and tender, it's going to take a while. So I don't want mushy squash. I like that pureed instead.
Awesome. Julie, thanks for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for having me. So I hope everyone cooks soup this fall.
I'm probably going to make some tomorrow or maybe during the Packer game on Sunday. I don't know.
There you go.
That's Julie Harrington, chef and registered dietitian. She's co-author of the Healing Soup Cookbook, Hearty Recipes to Boost Immunity and Restore Health. Find a few of the recipes she shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday and tell us about your favorite soup over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.